Chapter 47, Honolulu. 2 days after the island maid departed for San Francisco, Fitch Donegan was seated in his regular evening booth at the Pearl. Across from him sat a small, cross-eyed weasel of a man, an informant who, until today, had proven to be a reliable snitch. The weasel was squirming in his seat, not an unreasonable behavior for one who fully expected his throat to be cut before sunset. Donegan, however, was in an unusually magnanimous mood, perhaps due to the exhilarating romp he'd just enjoyed with the dark-skinned Maori twin sisters, who had recently joined his stable.
"You assured me that he wasn't on the Tahiti steamer," Donegan said in a matter-of-fact voice.
"Our people in Tahiti watched every passenger go aboard," the weasel said. "And I was on the dock as each of the first and second class launches came in. Colonel Scoundrel was not on them. I am sure of that."
"And the launches that brought the coolie laborers ashore? Did you also inspect them?"
"The coolies? No. But why would I? He would not have been traveling in steerage. The man is famous for his expensive tastes."
"No, of course not. What sense would that make? Unless he wanted to use the cover of those ragged peasants to sneak in right under your nose."
The weasel had no answer. He stared at the table, trying to prepare himself for the razor-sharp blade that would soon sever his carotid artery and send blood spewing around the alley behind the building. Donegan poured a shot of whiskey into the informant's glass.
"Perhaps you can redeem yourself a little. At least tell me what you've learned about the girl."
The weasel's head perked up. "Redeem? That was a good thing, wasn't it?" He gulped down his drink and wiped a hand across his mouth.
"The Grinthorpe woman is telling friends that the girl went back to her family on Lanai the same morning the island maid left for California. Problem is, she ain't got family on Lanai, and there were no coasters or schooners out of Honolulu for the island that morning."
"You're certain of that?"
"Damn straight," replied the weasel. "The Grinthorpe's cook has a daughter who's addicted to opium, spends all her time in one of them little cubbies in the back of the Chinese laundry, smoking the stuff. When she can get the money, that is. She's uglier than a sea monkey's pustule-covered arse, so she can't make any money renting out her twat. So she does what she can, including listening in on the kinds of conversations that poor folks should keep their noses out of, and selling anything juicy she hears."
"And that's how you learned about the girl?"
The weasel nodded and slid his glass across the table. Hell, it didn't hurt to ask. Donegan filled up the glass and motioned for the man to go on.
"I knew you was keep an eye on the girl since you learned that Colonel Scoundrel had dropped her off there to work as a housemate. I've been paying the cook's daughter a buck here and there and a buck there to give me any news she heard about the kid. This morning she looked me up at my home, and she said she had important news."
Yes, your home, Donegan thought. A rented room behind a livery stable. Quite the abode.
"So she shows up this morning and says she's got the goods now. Only it'll cost me $2. The bitch wouldn't so much as give me a hint. So I agreed, if and that was, she included a little tug job in the deal."
"You said she was ugly as a what?"
Donegan asked with a smile.
"In my world, it's any port in a storm, Mr. Donegan,"
answered the informant.
"Anyway, I paid her, and she tugged me, and then she spilled."
"Well?"
The weasel bit his lip and prepared for the worst.
"The girl packed up everything she owned and met two men on the docks the morning the island maid pulled out for San Francisco. I talked to a stevedore who remembers seeing them get into a launch."
"But you yourself were not at the dock. Wasn't that your job?"
"I saw the maid's second officer in the bar at the Palace Hotel the night before they sailed,"
said the informant.
"Bought him a drink, even offered to get him a deal on a whore here in exchange for a little information. He said there weren't no one by Scoundrel's name or matching his description coming out of Tahiti. and not on the manifest for San Francisco, neither. There was no point in me going to the docks.
Donegan sighed and leaned back in the booth. The colonel got to the second officer ahead of you. Putting that aside for now, what did the two men with the girl look like?
One was a big Hawaiian, mountain of a man. The other?
The weasel hesitated. The next words he spoke would likely be his last on Earth.
The other was a tall American, lean fellow with sandy hair, who looked like he spends a lot of time outdoors.
Colonel Thomas Scoundrel, Donegan said. The weasel said nothing. He had failed. And in Donegan's world, there was only one penalty for failure. To his surprise and relief, Donegan continued the conversation.
When does the next steamer leave for San Francisco?
2 weeks. End of the first week of December.
On the transit time?
9 to 10 days, depending on the weather.
So, Scoundrel has nearly 3 weeks lead on me, Donegan said, and I have no idea about his ultimate destination.
It ain't San Francisco?
Asked the weasel. Donegan thought about Colin Stafford's network of watchers and laughed.
Someone must know where he is going,
Donegan finally said.
His people in Tahiti?
Perhaps. But if I have to travel there first, he will be a good 2 months ahead of me. No, someone here on the island knows. The informant was silent. It was a long shot, but he had to suggest something that would save his neck.
I know someone who would be able to give you that information, Mr. Donegan.
Donegan raised his glass and took a long sip. Yes? His eyes bored into the weasel's head. The informant gulped and took the chance.
The gal from the opium den. She told me that the girl who was with Scoundrel shared everything with the Grimthrops. She had no secrets.
Fitch Donegan did not normally approve of floral pattern wallpaper. When he redecorated the Pearl, he used solid patterns, sometimes with flocked or brushed surfaces. He thought they added a bit of class to the place. But as he sat in the parlor of the Grimthorpe's 3-story home in the center of Honolulu, he had to admit that the mistress of the household had chosen well. The color and style worked well with the dark walnut furniture, and even played off the fresh flowers in the vase on the small table in the center of the room. He would have complimented Mrs. Grimthorpe on her decorating abilities, but he doubted she would be able to reply. She and her husband were tied, bound, and gagged on 2 hard-backed dining chairs, facing one another about 5 feet apart. Mr. Grimthorpe's left eye was swollen almost shut, and a trickle of blood from the nostril that had been sliced open flowed down his upper lip and onto his chin before dribbling onto his shirt. His wife's right cheek was bright red from being repeatedly slapped, and her dress and undergarments had been ripped from her throat to her waist, exposing her breasts, one of which bore a burn mark from Donegan's cigar. Fitch had to acknowledge that for a woman in her 40s, she was pretty well put together, or had been before tonight. Even with her bruises and burns, she still looked good enough to diddle, and Donegan allowed as to how he might have to dip in a bit before the night was over. He stood and walked to the sideboard, where he refilled his glass with the excellent port the Grimthorpes kept in a large crystal decanter.
I am always impressed by how well you professional Christians live, no matter where in the uncivilized world you may be, he said. Good to see how lucrative it can be to do the Lord's business.
Mr. Grimthorpe grunted and shifted in his chair. His wife lowered her head to her chest and began to sob, until her gag started to fill with spit and made her fear she was going to choke.
Let's get down to business, Donegan said. I'm sure you're wondering why I'm here and why I gave you a little taste of what's ahead for you both. if you don't cooperate fully with my requests. Do you understand?
Mrs. Grimthorpe nodded, but her husband remained stoic and did not so much as blink an eye. Donegan lifted his knife from the corner of the table and walked over behind Grimthorpe. He grabbed the missionary leader's left ear firmly with one hand and, with a single slashing motion, cut most of it off and tossed the bloody flesh on the floor in front of Mrs. Grimthorpe, who recoiled at the sight and nearly toppled over. Her husband groaned and struggled harder against the rope that bound him to the chair.
"Nah, that's what I'm talking about," Donegan said in a friendly tone. "When I say something or ask a question, you'll respond without hesitation. Is that understood?"
Mrs. Grimthorpe nodded immediately, and her husband did the same.
"Good. Then we understand one another," said Donegan.
He went to the sideboard and refilled his glass. Then he pulled a chair next to Mrs. Grimthorpe and began to caress her exposed breast. She threw her head back and held her breath, and Donegan was amused to see the anger flashing in her husband's eyes.
"Them some nice titties your wife's sportin'," Donegan said. "When's the last time you paid them proper attention?"
Without waiting for Grimthorpe to grunt or shake his head, Donegan lowered his head to Mrs. Grimthorpe's chest and began to slurp at each breast. When he finished, he raised his head and kissed her on the cheek.
"It's been fun," he said. "But now it's time for you to tell me everything about, what's her name? Oh, yes, Tayana. I want to know where she is going, who she is with, and what their plans are. Everything. Tell it all to me, and we can call it a night, and I will leave you to your own business."
Grimthorpe's eyes told Donegan that the missionary wasn't buying the part about leaving them alone. Of course, the pink-skinned, fleshy preacher was right, but Donegan had to give them some hope that they would still be alive when the sun rose over the mountains that encircled Honolulu. He leaned forward and ripped the gag from Mrs. Grimthorpe's mouth. She coughed once and spit out a mouthful of blood mixed with mucus.
"You ready, darling?"
asked Donegan.
"Let's have it."
"You're an evil man, and God will strike you down," she said in a trembling voice.
"And on both counts, you are correct," said Donegan.
"But my eternal fate wasn't the question, was it?"
"And there's a penalty for not answering."
He went over to Grimthorpe and used his knife to cut the man's dress shirt down to his lower belly. Then he stuck his knife a half inch into the missionary's flesh, just above the sternum, and slowly pulled the blade down to his navel. Grimthorpe arched his back and shrieked into his gag. Tears flowed down his face, and he began to shake.
"That little lady," Donegan said to Mrs. Grimthorpe, "was because you defied me. His blood is on you. Pull that shit again and I'll take out both his eyes. Any part of that you don't understand?"
She replied with a look of hatred and fear.
Good, Donegan thought. She understands. Now, before I ask one more time, I think I'll get me a look-see under them petticoats, he said.
He finished his port, pulled his chair close in front of her, and thrust her legs apart. Then he reached up under her dress to the top of her petticoat and ripped it down to her ankles before pulling her dress up around her waist.
"Now ain't that just the prettiest little quim?"
Donegan whispered as he held her legs apart with his hands on her knees.
"Just about perfect."
He reached one hand forward and thrust his fingers inside her.
"Oh, yes, I'll be paying you a visit pretty soon."
Then he went over to her husband and grabbed the hair on the back of his head.
"Steady, boy,"
said Donegan, as he ran the fingers that had violated the missionary's wife back and forth under the man's nose.
"Smell familiar?"
Donegan laughed and went for a refill of the port.
I expect you're ready to sing, he said to Mrs. Grimthorpe. Let's have it all.
She felt a glimmer of hope, tiny but still a glimmer, that this beast would let them go if she complied.
She is going to San Francisco with Colonel Scoundrel, and from there to stay with a friend of his in a place near Los Angeles called San Pedro. I don't know the friend's name.
Donegan searched her face.
She was telling the truth so far.
And who is the man traveling with them, the big fellow?
She had to take a deep breath to control her sobbing before she continued.
That I don't know. Tiana did not tell me. I'm not sure she knew.
Again, the woman was being truthful.
And what about Scoundrel? Where is he going after he leaves the girl in San Pedro?
Mrs. Grimthorpe looked across at her husband.
Please, please, let me tend to my husband first, and then I will tell you everything I know.
Donegan leaned over and held the point of his knife against Grimthorpe's throat.
That ain't part of the deal, now talk!
She lowered her head and said,
Tiana says he is going to New York City. Something about taking some paintings to a new museum that is opening in late December.
Mrs. Grimthorpe raised her head and said,
That is everything I know. As God is my witness, that is everything.
Donegan regarded her general countenance and thought about what he had just been told. San Pedro, New York City, artwork. The woman could not have been making any of it up. He reached out and gently caressed her cheek.
You know what, darling? I believe you. Don't you feel unburdened now for telling the truth?
So, you're going to leave us alone now?
She asked hopefully.
I'm going to unburden you both. That's what I'm going to do,
he replied as he retied her gag. Then he stepped behind her husband, cupped the missionary's chin in his palm, and ran his blade across the man's throat. The seam of bright red blood that appeared along the knife's path became a gushing torrent when Donegan released Grimthorpe's head and let it fall to his chest. Mrs. Grimthorpe tried to scream through her gag as blood streamed down her husband's chest and poured onto the carpet. Donegan didn't care. He had everything he needed to find Scoundrel. He would have to leave his beloved Pearl for a few months. But this barman had proven to be a competent manager and would be able to handle things until he returned. Right now, he was surrounded by everything he desired most in life. Blood, death, and the promise of a level of pleasure he only experienced when he took a woman by force. He turned Mrs. Grimthorpe's chair around so she would not have to look at her dying husband. He wasn't an animal, after all, he thought as he stood in front of her and unbuttoned his trousers. Then he pulled her gag out and said,
Do this properly, and everything else I ask you to do, or you'll be joining your husband, do you understand?
He watched the terror flash in her eyes as he thrust his hardness between her lips and into her mouth. Fitch Donegan could not imagine having a more perfect day.